settle our spirits, settle our hearts, God, that we could hear the word of God. We trust that you would look upon the saints that are still on the way, God. Give them traveling mercies. Let them arrive safely. Thank you for those that have already arrived safely. Bless those that will join us online. And God, there's some that won't be able to be in attendance tonight, but we pray that you'd look upon them as well. And may you get all the glory and all the honor from our gathering. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us get our Bibles and go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll get started down a path. I don't know if we'll finish tonight, but at least we'll get started, and then we will just pick up, you know, wherever we leave off. A lot of times when we're looking at scripture, it's not just historic events, but if you're spiritual enough, you'll be able to see how history has a strange way of repeating itself. And let's look at, you know, some of these things. So here, 1 Samuel 2, I want to start at verse 22. And it says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? And it says, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Verse 27 says, and there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Now, to me, this is very, very important. Eli the priest is actually being rebuked by a prophet because he put his children above the word of the Lord. I want to say that again. Eli the priest is being rebuked by a prophet because he put his children above the word of the Lord. And this is very, very important. I mean, me as a pastor, I can't like show favoritism to my kids over everybody else, right? And I can't make decisions because it benefits my kids, right, over everybody else. Or in Eli's situation, I can't allow my kids just to be doing all kind of stuff inside the house of God and not correcting it. Oh my. Because we have a lot of churches that are doing that. The pastors allowing their children, I mean, to do all kind of ungodly things. And here in this story, the children were taking advantage of the offering, right? Lord Jesus, help me just say these things. I've been in church where sometimes the preacher's kids or the people that's related to the preacher are going around borrowing money from people in the church. They're going around borrowing money secretly from people in the church. never paying it back. Never, right? And, you know, sometimes the pastor would know about it. Nothing's ever done about it, all right? Here, if that was happening, I would certainly want to know, and we have to make something happen, right? You just can't take advantage of people like that in the house of God. Sometimes people get to a certain level when they're preaching, and they look for ways that they can take advantage of the people of God. I know what I'm talking about, right? And, you know, but here, Eli was allowing his boys to mishandle the offerings. They were also laying with the women in the church. You know, here, I mean, these boys going from one sister to the next sister to the next sister, and ain't nobody saying nothing about it. I know churches that are like that in the message. Yeah, y'all be shocked. You'd be shocked. And, you know, so, but as a pastor, you got to be careful. Eli's getting a rebuke because he allowed his kids to do things that were, they should have been corrected, not just corrected, almost they should have lost their position. You sit down. You can't sing here. You can't play here. You can't preach here. You can't do none of that until you get delivered. Amen. When you deliver it, then we can talk about that. And then I'm going to tell you, sometimes you can get to a line where you can cross it and you might not be used anymore. Praise the Lord. Who's going to trust you laying with all the sisters? Who want to hear you preach? Who actually wants to hear you preach? And you done, and what about the sister that you done did this to? How's she going to sit there and listen to you? Come on, church. Right, I mean, the spirits get released in the church, and that's why you got to know what you're a part of. It's good for you to ask questions before you just jump out and do something. Sometimes you don't know what be going on in churches. Amen. You hear things, and you know. Well, I think you better sit down and talk to somebody. I'm telling you. I sometimes I have to say things without saying things, but if you come to me direct and you feeling led, and I'm gonna tell you, it's two things now. You can tell me you feeling led, and I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna say praise the Lord. I'm telling you how I'm going to respond if you tell me you feel led to do something. I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm gonna let you go figure it out. But if you come and tell me, say, Pastor, I'm thinking about something, but I want you to pray with me about this. And if there's anything that you can share with me, I really appreciate it while I'm praying about it. That's a different conversation. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But Eli was allowing his boys just to kind of do just about anything in the church. And as a pastor, you got to be careful. Your kids can't show favoritism to your children over everybody else. You're going to hurt your church that way. You're going to hurt your church. You know what? Everybody in there, your children. Everybody, your children. You got to treat them all the same. Just like all my daughters, I got to love them the same. By Christmas present, everybody about to get the same thing. So as soon as the first one opened the gift, the other ones already know what they got. I treat them all the same. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not going. Oh, I'm going to drop $500 on this one, and the other one going to get $100. You just created a problem in your own house. What's the matter with them? What's the matter with them? What's the matter with you? Right? So when you got to make sure that these things are done on a respectable level. Eli failed to do that. It created major problems. Major problems. Major problems. And so the pastor got to make sure he keep his house in order. I read that scripture to y'all last week, even about a deacon, how deacon got to be faithful in his own house, keeping his house got to be ruled properly before he can actually rule the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Let's just kind of keep reading this. I mean, actually, you know what? I'm gonna jump in and just kind of give a scripture. Verse 30 was saying, Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now here God is making a promise, and when you look at this, it almost seems as if God changed his mind on something, but he didn't. The priesthood stayed amongst the seed of Levi, or Aaron, let's put it that way. That priesthood stayed there, but as we go through this, we're going to see how it shifted from one brother to another brother. Amen. Just give me that chart so I can just kind of show this, and you'll see something here. I wish I had a little pointer and all kind of things like that where I could really just kind of help y'all see this. But we're gonna go through some scriptures, and so Aaron, the priesthood is coming down through Aaron. Aaron had two sons, Eleazar, Ithamar. Ithamar has Eli. Eli has these two boys, Hophni and Phinehas. And you know, Phinehas has two boys, Ahitub and Ichabod. We're going to read about that in the future. That means the glory of the Lord departed. And then Ahitub has Ahiah and Abimelech, but then also Abimelech has Abiathar. Now, when it gets to Abiathar, the priesthood stops. It no longer flows through Eli anymore. It stops right there at Abiathar. We're going to read that, and if not tonight, it'll come in the next lesson. But when Abiathar stopped having the responsibility of being the high priest was flowing through this lineage. That was a major responsibility. Eli had this flowing. These boys had high priesthood responsibilities. What does that mean? That means it was only once a year that the high priest could go into the holies of holies and take the atonement for the people. One man once a year on the Day of Atonement could go in there and actually atone for the people's sins. If these boys are committing sin, how can they atone for somebody's sin? You're committing sin, so you can't atone nothing for me, right? They had this responsibility flowing through their lineage, but when it got down here in the days of Solomon, Solomon stopped this guy right here. Abiathar said, you know what? You won't do it anymore. We're going to give it to Zadok. And Zadok is coming through this other lineage. So it's still the sons of Aaron. It just swapped sides. Now, they're actually one. Initially, it was going down this side. And if really I can just say it was a restoration to come back over here. We got a lot of reading to do. Let's look at how this priesthood started. Let me get a couple verses. I want to go to Exodus 29, verse 4 through 9. Exodus 29 and verse 4 through 9. Bible says, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod, and the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird them with curious girdle of the ephod. Thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual state, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." So here God is giving a commandment to Moses. Aaron and his sons are going to have this priesthood, you know, flowing through them. And Aaron, again, through this, the high priesthood was actually going through this lineage. And back in those times, you know, the way that God would kind of forgive sins, nowadays we can go directly to Christ and get our sins forgiven. But back in those times, they would have to bring their offerings to the church. Their offering would be a lamb, a turtle doves, all kind of things that they would bring, that the scripture would have them bring. They would bring that, and then it would be Aaron's sons that would handle those things. And then once a year, they had the Day of Atonement, where God would just, you know, forgive them, you know, as a nation. But on that Day of Atonement, only the high priest could go in, and he had to be dressed a certain way. He had to have a certain garment on, and then they put a rope around his waist, and he had to have bells on the bottom of his garment. And when they put the bells in there, the reason they had that is because when he walked into the holies of holies, they knew that if his life was not right, he would die in there. And the only way they could get that man out of there, because nobody could go in. Anybody went in outside of that high priest, it was immediate death for them to go in, right? But when it was the Day of Atonement, and the high priest went in, they put a rope around his waist, they put the bells on the bottom of his garment, and he would go in, and as long as they could hear the bells ring, they knew that everything was good. But if they did not hear those bells ringing, they had to pull him out of there, because he was a dead man. He was a dead man, right? Let me just put it this way. A high priest took his job seriously. He took his job seriously. You didn't play games. You didn't want to have nothing in your life. Amen. And if a high priest was taking his job seriously, then we know things have changed that happened at the cross. God doesn't do it that way anymore. Brother Branham even told us that it was death if you went in at that time. Now it's death if you stay out now. But here's the thing. We want to live a life so consecrated to Christ. Not just the preachers living that way. Not just the deacons living that way. But the whole church got to live a life so consecrated to Christ that we don't want to die in his presence. Amen. Amen. All right. So this was flowing through Aaron and his sons. Now, I didn't write this one down. I was reading this. Let me see if I can just find it real quick. But what happened is that there come a time where Aaron, it was time for Moses to be taken off the scene. And when Moses was being taken off the scene, then he had to call Aaron. I think it's in the book of Numbers, but he had to call Aaron, and he stripped Aaron of his garments and actually put those garments on Aaron's son. I thought that was Numbers, but I didn't write it down, so I won't be able to give that to you right now. That's where, right here, Numbers 21. Verse 23. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor." So we can see now this responsibility Aaron had is getting ready to transfer to one of his sons, and that's the son Eleazar. Okay? And strip Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. They went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. When all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. So we can see this transfer happening to Aaron's son Eliezer. Now, I'm gonna just say something. It's God that actually established who was gonna be next. It was God that established who was going to be next. Who was gonna take over Aaron's spot? It was God. He had two boys. It was God that established who was gonna be next. And at this scripture, it was Eliezer that did it. I'm trying to get to another scripture here tonight, because even when it was time for kings to move into the kingship, it was God that would establish who would be next. Glory to God. It was God that did that. But we're gonna read a situation that happened with a king where he didn't really wait for God to establish who was gonna be next. He took it upon himself and established himself as next. Had ceremonies, invited a bunch of people. I'm gonna read it in the Bible. But God had not established that he was supposed to be next. Y'all let me read the Bible. Okay, let's go to Numbers 25. I'm not there yet, I just made that statement, but as we read, you'll see history has a strange way of repeating itself. Right now we're talking about how God established the priesthood through Aaron and his sons. Numbers 25 is another situation. Now, as we're reading this, I'm starting at verse 5 is where I want to read from. We're looking at Phinehas, and you know, if you don't mind, if you just bring that chart back up for me again, so we can just kind of, I kind of wish I had like two boards up here, you know, so y'all can kind of see just what's going on. So Aaron left the scene. We just read that in Numbers 21. Eliezer now is been, you know, taken over. And but now we're gonna read something else here, okay, that is happening in scripture. Okay, watch this. All right, Numbers 25, verse 5. Now let me also just add what is happening in the scripture here. This is the time where Balaam was not supposed to go and prophesy against Israel, but Balak kept offering him more things, you know, more popularity or more money or whatever he did, just come and prophesy evil against Israel. And every time he tried to prophesy, something good would come out, all right? And on his way to prophesying for Balak, he had this mighty encounter where he's riding a donkey, and the donkey begins to talk to him and tell him pretty much, you know, haven't I been your donkey all this time? Because he got so mad that the donkey actually could see the angel of the Lord, and the donkey was avoiding, you know, everywhere the angel was going. He saw the angel with the sword out ready to kill Balaam, a prophet, ready to kill him. But he could see how the angel was there ready to kill him, but he's like, I'm trying to avoid this angel on your behalf, because you're, and everywhere that donkey would turn, Balaam just get upset. Kick the donkey, curse the donkey, just upset. I mean, think Brother Branham said he bit the donkey. Can you imagine a prophet with donkey hair in his mouth? Donkey hair in his mouth. That's how rough this fellow was. And then God anointed the donkey to turn around and start talking to him. Now he should have known, if a donkey is talking to me, I need to go back where I came from. Ain't no sense in me going forward. A donkey is speaking to me. But sometimes we get so stuck in our ways that no matter if a donkey talking or anybody else talking, we're going to still do what we want to do. We got to learn how to be submissive to the word of God, to the will of God, to the way of God, right? And not have to go through things like what they went through. But Balaam was just so, he going to do it. He going for the money. He going out there to do it. Well, he got into trouble. So Balaam never prophesied evil. He couldn't. God would not allow him. So he came up with a plan. He said, you know what you ought to do? Invite the children of Israel to come to y'all little festival, that little feast that y'all have. Invite them to come over, and then God would have to curse them himself, because he knew the children of Israel were going to get involved with some of the sinful things that were going on in Balak's, under Balak's group. He knew something would happen. So he gave them that type of advice. They did it, and now we have a problem. We have a problem. You can't go everywhere you've been invited. You can go everywhere that you've been invited. Amen. Let's just read the scripture. They got involved in something that they should not have got involved with, and it happened because they were in the wrong atmosphere. I was going to start at verse 5, but now I got to start at verse 1. Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people into the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. So now we start out with sexual sins, and now they are serving idol gods. And remember, God had already given them the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Just because they went to one church service that they shouldn't have been in, they got involved in two quick sins just like that. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, church ain't the same. Let me put it this way. Denominational church is not the same as it used to be. When I was coming up, it was, man, them people preached the word. And they as much as they knew how to preach, they preached, right? And, but, man, we didn't have, like, I was talking to a guy just yesterday. He was saying, you know, I went to church, and when I went there, he says, it just felt more like a nightclub than it did a church. And he said, I had to stop going. I said, I ain't been able to really find nothing really, but that felt like a nightclub. And I'm like, I said, man, I know exactly what you're talking about, right? And so some of these churches that people are inviting you to, you be careful what you get yourself involved with. Oh, Lord have mercy. Look here, young people. People out there will set you up. They will set you up and don't care nothing about you, and use the word of God to set you up with. They'll set you up. They'll get you hooked up with some boy or young boy. They'll get you hooked up with some girl, and they know this girl ain't nothing but a problem. They know this boy ain't nothing but a problem. But if they can get, and they also know ain't nobody in the church want this boy. Nobody in the church want this girl. Nobody? You need to ask questions. You need to slow yourself down and just wait. Nobody wants you? All these people around, nobody? I'm the one? Wait. Yeah, wait. Just wait a minute. Right, but you got to understand. You think, oh boy, I'm debonair. I'm this, and you know, this is why I'm so cute. You know, this is why they want me. These people are setting you up,
my Lord,
to ruin your life, and you, all because you want to go to one service. Look, don't tell me it can't happen. Have y'all ever read the story of Dina? Go back and read Genesis 37, I believe, the story of Dina. She went out one night on the town. I want to go hang with my friends. I want to go do this. I want to, and they like, don't do it, Dina. Don't do it. Dina snuck out one night. Yeah. You know when she got out there that one night? The king's son saw her. I said, man, I want her. I don't want this other girl. Not only saw her, but he raped her, took advantage of her. She was pregnant in one night. Yeah. One night out, she got pregnant, and now she's going to be stuck with this man. And her father was upset, but he was going to marry her. But her brother said, no. The way he did that, can't have my sister. And they kind of tricked him. Mm-hmm. Told him, if y'all going to marry us, all the boys got to be circumcised. If you don't know what that is, talk to your parents. They'll tell you all about it. But when the men got circumcised, they were in a situation where they couldn't do nothing. They were going to be down for a little bit. Couldn't move too much, couldn't do nothing. While they were in that state, and the boys came back in and killed a whole town. So y'all ain't going to take my sister out like that. Them brothers were serious about their sister. Now I ain't gonna say go kill nobody like that, but we need to be serious about our sisters. If you see something going down that shouldn't be going down, we need to be serious about our sisters. Step up, and sisters, sometimes be serious about it. You know that girl ain't no good. Tell that brother, stay away from her. Amen. We need to be one another's keepers. Amen. We need to be that way. Amen. All right. Well, ain't none of my business, right? And you're gonna let them walk right into this pit. You don't even love them if you're gonna do it. It is your business. That's your brother. That's your sister. Say something to them. Just try to encourage them a little bit. If they make a decision on their own, then at least they were warned. Praise the Lord. All right. But here. We're picking up something here in Scripture, and I already know I won't get to the other part that I want to get to, but that's okay. I'm going to enjoy this journey. Amen. Verse 2, is that right? Yes. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, worshiping an idol god. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. The leaders are going to pay for this. The heads, these are the leaders of the people that are going to pay for bringing these people into something like this. And he says, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal-peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, let me just make this very clear. This man went out and got one of these other women and brought her in. And now they're getting ready to do some things that they shouldn't have been doing. But I want to tell you, young people, don't go out into the world and then try to bring somebody into the church and just make us all accept them. Don't do that. And we all know how you don't work this thing, God. God can't bless things like that. Don't do that. If they want to come to church, let them come to church. And you don't be the one to go pick them up. Amen. Brother Joseph, when you get your car, some young lady, maybe you're working on a job, some young lady, I want to go to church with you. She looked real nice. That's a setup from the devil. You want to go to church with me? You know what you say? I tell you what, I'm gonna ask my sister. She got a car, and my sister will pick you up and bring you to church. That's how you do it. You separate yourself from it completely, but not me riding in the car with them. I'm just bringing them to the church, to the house of the Lord. No, the devil coming to church with you. And this is a setup from the devil. There's getting ready to be some major problems with this. Amen. So don't do it that way. You put it off on another sister and let that sister do it. And young ladies, the same thing. Some young man, you see, well, yeah, I want to go to church with you. Is that right? Okay, call this number right here.
Right.
Like my daughter, fella said, what's your telephone number? She said, 561-758-8223. And he was bold enough to call it. And when he called it, hello. He heard a deep voice, hello. Is this so-and-so? And I know so-and-so. And I know it since you said that name, it didn't take me long to figure out what just happened. You asked so-and-so for the number, and they gave you my number. They how can I help you? Right. Not they not available right now. How can I help you? Right? And then I want to hear their whole story. Then I can let them know, no, that ain't going to work at all. So you don't even need to call back. Y'all can do the same thing. It's the truth. Young ladies, y'all can give them my number. Give them my number. And when they ask for you, I already know what just happened. Right. It don't take discernment. I wonder why she gave you my number. I already know what happened. How can I help you, my brother? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Here they're in a repentant state, and this boy is bringing his sin into the camp. I'm telling you, people can't feel comfortable bringing their sin into your house. So don't let them do it.
Right.
Y'all ain't married. Y'all ain't staying here.
Right.
I'm not letting you spend a night. This ain't no hotel. If you ain't married, you shouldn't be doing things that married people do.
Right.
Hello? So you can't stay here. Now, y'all married, y'all welcome to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ain't married, no, we can't do it like that. We can't do it like that. I mean, y'all can't even hang out here. We're having a picnic. Y'all can't come. You can come, but y'all as a couple can't come. Y'all can't do that. Not at my house. Maybe at somebody else's house y'all can do that, but not here. Amen. We gotta have standards. Oh, it don't take all that. It take that and more. And actually, what you need to do is respect God and respect me enough to do things right. If you're gonna be with them like that, get married to them. Why you won't get married to them? Amen. Truth in it high. Verse 7. And when Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man, and the woman, her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. This sin that they brought into the camp, Phinehas, which was the son of Eleazar, he took it in his hand, and he said, I'm going to take care of this sin. And he eradicated it. Now, we can't go killing people like this man just did in Scripture. However, it shouldn't just be the pastor trying to keep sin out. It shouldn't just be the deacons trying to keep sin out. You know who you invited to church, and you know what type of spirits they got on them. Help us all. And at least maybe you can let us know. Now look, I know this person coming to church and this and this. Just let them know so we can be prepared, right? But don't let nobody come in and even, they just need church, and they're a couple, they're not married, they're not this, they're not that. Now when you bring that type of stuff into the church, it actually can hinder the Spirit of God from moving in the church. We need to know how to handle things like that. We want people to come. We do want them to come, but we got to let them know, now look, there are some things that we believe here, and you can't be operating like that.
Amen. Amen.
You're not going to be able to operate like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know churches go through a lot of stuff. Oh, God, help us. We got to be so careful, church. Be careful what you bring in, because you can hinder the Spirit of the Lord. But you do want sinners to come. But you talk to them. You know, you ought to already know whether they're at this point where they're really ready to repent and change their ways. Then the church can help. But if this is a person, I don't care what your church say, I'm going to just do whatever I want to do. Probably, you don't want to, not here. Go. It's another church right over there. I think you can go over there and do exactly what you want to do. But here, everybody got to be willing to take up their cross and follow Jesus. All right. Those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. I mean, just this act that Phinehas did actually, it stopped God from killing all the people in Israel. 24,000 died. But it stopped them from killing wiping the whole nation out because of the sin that they were involved in this feast of Baal Peor. But because of what Phinehas did, and here's another example that we see, that it took death on a cross by Jesus Christ in order to appease the wrath of God. Here in this situation, these people died, and that appeased the wrath of God. Just like Jesus had to go to a cross to die for our sins, it appeased the wrath of God. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Because of what Phinehas did, I give unto him. Now, we need you to understand, Phinehas is also a part, because Aaron had these two boys, and then all these other generations followed after that. But here, Eli is also coming out of the same tree, but look at how he's treating the sin, just nonchalant. But Phinehas take a javelin to you. That's how he treated it. Two different ways of treating sin. And God said, look, I'm glad that this man's wiping this stuff out, not allowing it to happen inside, you know, the house of the Lord. Not allowing it to happen. God appreciated that. Amen. Amen. Look at this. And I'm going to just say this. I know there's a statement. Big church, big problems. Little church, little problems. Now, you're going to have problems, but it's either big church, big problems, little church, little problems. Sometimes it's good just to have a little small group that everybody can function. When you get a really big group, it's very hard to kind of keep your hands on everything. It really is. Stuff just start all over, just popping every here, like popping like popcorn. And you're about to go crazy, about to lose your mind. You don't even know. All you can do is give people the word. You know, that's all you can do. But sometimes you hear things, or I might even hear things, and I'd be like, you know what? I ain't getting nowhere near it. Because I want to keep spirit and truth. Amen. 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 And I'm going to tell you something else. Anytime you hear a story, you always remember, there's two sides to every story. Yes. Two sides. So before you make a judgment, before you just jump out there saying anything, you always hear the other side of the story first before you say anything. Amen? Actually, what I've been told is three sides. His side, her side, and God's side. And unless you know all of that, just stay away from it. Keep. They used to have a little saying, mind your business. Mind your business. Amen. And you ain't got nothing to do with nobody else's business. Mind your business. Hello, somebody. All right. What verse am I on? Y'all don't even know where I'm at. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Verse 13, and he shall have it. And watch this now. This is the one I was trying to get to. And he shall have it and his seed after him even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. And that's what God called it, an atonement. And notice now, this priesthood was actually a priesthood that would actually perform on the Day of Atonement. It says, now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. I remember Brother Burley Williams came and preached at our church years ago, and he was preaching from the scripture. And I read it, but I just never caught why things happen the way that they happen, right? But notice what the scripture's saying. The name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Salu, a prince of the chief house among the Simeonites. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. What we got here are leaders' children that have gotten connected. And if they don't straighten this thing out amongst the leaders' children, then what's going to happen with all the other kids? So the leaders' children have to be spot on. Leaders' children. When you're in a leadership position, your children have to be spot on. Otherwise, they create an example for all the other kids to follow. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's very important that you remember what role you play in the economy of God. I just can't have my house just operating any kind of way. I can't have my kids just doing whatever. I got to keep these things under wrap. I got to be the one to correct you. Amen. I want you to fit. Find where you fit in the body and run like a fine oil machine. But I can't have you just doing whatever. That ain't gonna work. Hello?
Amen.
Amen. That reflect on me.
Amen.
That reflect on me. That reflect on the church. That reflect on all of us. So we just can't have that. We're gonna need you to get it together. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Boy, I tell you what. Verse 16, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, vex the Midianites and smite them. For they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor, and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. We can see that God made a promise to Eliezer, to his son, Phinehas, that there would be an everlasting priesthood in verse 13, you know, that they would have this. But then we go back and we look at over there in 1 Samuel, we see that this prophecy to Eli looks like God changed things, but it's really not a change. All that happened is that God is still using the sons of Aaron, but it just kind of swapped from, like, if I could put it like me and my brother, it was swapped from me to my brother because I did something wrong. That's all that happened, but it's still flowing through that same family. Okay, so when we go back over to 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll read this and I want to show one other thing. Okay, yeah, let's see here. Is that? In verse 30, it says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith. As if God changed his mind, but he didn't. God already knew. But it now spoken. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, the next verse, which I want to kind of get to, and I have to kind of bring this out the next time because we're running out of time. It says, You know what? Let me not do that. Never mind. Let me just say verse 31. Put myself a little note right here, because this will take us into some other areas, which I think is very, very important for us. But like I told you, the scripture has a way of repeating itself, and we're not just reading Bible stories here. We're trying to show you spirits don't die, you know. But what we want to do is keep these things at bay in church. And I can't remember the quote right now exactly, but I know Brother Branham said, you know, we all are the eyes and the ears of the church. We all are. We all see things that happen, and we hear things that happen, and we all have to step up and just kind of speak into things sometimes, you know. And I know sometimes people want to say, just mind your business. Well, you are my business. You are my business. That's why I'm sharing this with you. And back in the day, we used to live in a time where people could correct you in the church and you would not get offended. We used to live in a time like that. When I was coming up, Brother Xavier, if I did wrong, there was sisters in the church that would actually spank me. And then they would go tell my mama that they spanked me. And then you know what happened? I got another spanking. And it was no you touched my son? I can't believe you touched my son. No, if that lady had to come tell her that I got a spanking, my mama knew me well enough that I probably did exactly what that lady said I did. But back in those days, it was like that, and nobody had no problem. Nowadays, people want to sue people over touching the kid. Or I don't believe in spanking my kid. I read y'all that scripture a few weeks ago, where the Bible said about that, those that don't believe in spanking their kids. The Bible said you spare the rod. Not only just spoil a child, it say you hate your child. That a person that has spared the rod actually say it, you hate your child. That's in the book of Proverbs. So it's very important that we, you know, again, we be one another's keeper. And I know with times of changing, I'll be the first one that I won't go hitting somebody's child. I won't do that. But I will come tell the parent. I will come tell the parent. Hopefully the parent will do something about it. That's all I can say. Amen. Now, I will tell you where I will hit your child. I'll tell you where. If you have asked me to watch your child and they come into my house and your child and my child get into something, I mean, like jumping on the bed, jumping on the sofa, and my child know that you don't jump all on the furniture like that. So I'm gonna give you a warning. Now don't do that. We don't do that around here. So y'all stop. I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna come back, and if y'all still doing it, I'm gonna reach out for my child first. And I'm gonna give him a good whack. And since your child was involved in the same function, I'm gonna reach over to your child and I'm gonna treat them like I'm gonna treat your child like my child. And if they happen to tell you that's what I did, I'm letting you know ahead of time. That's exactly what I'm doing. So if you don't want me to watch your kids and you don't want me to spank them, don't bring them to me, because I will spank a child. I will spank a child. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. It'll be with love. It'll be certainly with love. But I will. I don't hate them. I love them so much that I won't spare that rod. Praise God. Let's pray, church. Father, we're grateful for your word. And God, it's important for us to be able to see the things that we read, how they are connected to things that we are going through. It's not just a history lesson, but God is it's reality. And if we can see how others in Scripture handle things, then God, we want to be sensitive in the way that we handle things as well. We want you to be pleased with all that we do. We want you to be glorified and magnified in our lives. God, we want to be a part of a church. The prophet said, where sin cannot hide. As that releases you, Father, to operate and to do the things that you want to do in your body. Father, we know sin will block you just as it did with Achan. It blocked you from being able to bless the children of Israel. So, Lord, we want to be mindful of these things that you have brought us through, Lord, to this season of restoration, and we're seeing, you know, things. But God, we know there's so much more, but we don't want our sin to block you from being able to release more in our presence. So, Father, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to apply what we hear and that we would use it to further your kingdom. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me get tonight's announcements. So don't forget, we'll be having Sunday morning service. I'm sorry, Sunday morning prayer from 9 to 10, service at 10:30. Sunday school at 9:30 to 10 for our youth and young adults. Our streaming continues through Facebook, which is the SAT Tabernacle, and then our church website, John423.org. And our annual church business meeting is going to happen on Friday, January 31st at 7:30 p.m. We'll meet here at the church for the annual business meeting, so keep that in mind. And that's for our church. That's not a night to invite guests, but that's for our church. We have things that pertain to us that we want to discuss, and so I encourage you just to come and be a part of that. Our giving is through Zelle, PayPal, and Cash App. Preferred method is Zelle. PayPal and Cash App both charge fees, so we ask that you avoid that if you can, but if you have to use it, we do understand. If you want to use Zelle or PayPal, it's giving at john423.org. Cash App is $SpiritAndTruthT. And our mailing address is there on the bottom of the screen, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33422. All right. Okay. I think that is all that I need to mention. We'll take a moment just to have time for testimonies or prayer requests, and we'll go from there. Anybody have a testimony or prayer request that you want to share? Okay. All right. We got a hand up there.
All right. God bless you, saints. So last year, I've been going to school last semester, and I was going to go to school this semester full time, but I work with my job. I knew that would have been kind of hard, so I was trying to think of ways to, you know, make money and go to school full time. And I remember my dad had said to the church about a month ago that he had applied for these benefits. It's called like Chapter 35. And so when he found out that when me and my sister would could possibly be eligible to apply for them and receive benefits, so actually me and my sister, we both applied for them and we both got approved for them. So now I can go to school full time without having to work full time, and then also there's also some other benefits that I can possibly get with Florida that'll cover my tuition 100% and then up to 110%.
So, oh my!
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Amen. When you say up to 110%, that means that is. So that's over 100%, right? So 110% means overflow. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for that. Anybody else? Prayer request, praise report? Okay. I do have one prayer request. Sister Erica is not feeling well. enemy attacking her body. So just want to remember her in prayer that God will touch her. I know Satan is trying to move through, but we're going to bind the hands of the enemy. And certainly believe God for his healing virtue to flow through every vein. All right, so let's have a word of prayer, and we will prepare to dismiss on tonight. Lord Jesus, we again thank you for, Lord, just this wonderful testimony and you approving to us, Lord, that we are in this season or this year of overflow. Seasons only last for a few months, but we're calling it a year of overflow. So God, we appreciate that, and we're asking, Lord, that you will overflow healing into Sister Erica, my wife's body, the enemy attacking her, Lord, and just pray that you, Father, would just bring complete and total healing to her. Lord, we, in between her and every ailment, we place the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that you were wounded for her transgressions and bruised for her iniquities. The chastisement of her peace is upon you. With your stripes, we declare healing. Also, Father, I want to remember this brother Sajid, that reached out to me, I think from, I think it's India, something like that, Father, but his wife is pregnant, but had a fall recently. And God, they're just praying that everything would be all right with her and with the baby. And she's in her third trimester, and Lord, just praying that you, God, would just watch over both of them and that you allow things to go through smoothly. We trust, oh God, that you would move on their need and that you would keep them, Father, through this this season. Lord, as we saints prepare to leave this place but not your presence, Lord, let us go meditating on what we've heard and trust, Lord Jesus, God, that you would keep us until we're able to meet again. I'm also aware of some other needs, God, that some of the saints might have. We're asking you to open doors that they cannot see, and that you would provide in ways that go beyond their expectations. And God, that you would move supernaturally. You are the same God that opened up a Red Sea. And we're asking that you open up this situation for them, God, and just move by your Spirit. We ask that you would keep us, Lord, until we're able to come back together again on Sunday morning. May the Spirit of God meet us in a special way. God, it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. The Lord richly bless you, church. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen.